Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays is being brought to you by
Hobrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire.
I am Melissa Patrick with Focus Fridays here on WKLM, and today I am joined by Marianne Mader, who is the superintendent of the Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities. So thank you, Marianne, for coming in and joining with us today to talk about the Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities and your position as the superintendent there. I really appreciate you wanting to share, especially this month of March.
Oh, yeah. March is Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month. So any word that we can get out to our Holmes County residents so that they know that the Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities is here serving individuals with developmental disabilities and their families, and that people with developmental disabilities have a lot to offer. That's one of our primary focuses, is building a community where everyone belongs, and we really are working hard to help people with developmental disabilities be active and participating members of their community.
And you guys do that, and you've been doing that for quite a while at your facility.
Well, yes, we have. We've been we've been around for a little while now. Our building that we're in was built in 1975. How many years ago is that?
Or do you, well, 85 is 41 years.
Okay. How do you know that, Melissa?
I know that because I shall be 41. Okay. So 75 so would be 51 years.
Yeah. So for 51 years, we have been working really hard. In the last few years, I think it's really become more of a focus for us to reach out even more. I think we've always kind of focused on our folks in our building and in some of the adult day programs that we work with, but now we're really trying to branch out to get folks with developmental disabilities out in the community even more.
Well, and because for so many years, those folks that have the developmental disabilities were misunderstood and kept in the shadows and were made to feel like they couldn't contribute when they knew they can. They just maybe didn't know how to express that or share that or have the resources. And places like what you guys do, each county I think has one,
yes,
to try to help, is to really bring that to light where, yes, they can, they do have things to offer. We can help them. We have resources. And really give them more of hope than maybe what families who had a child with disabilities had 50 years ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Years ago, children with developmental disabilities weren't even allowed to go to elementary school. So if you look through just the history with different acts being passed at the state level, but also at the federal level, there's been such a focus over the last 50, 75 years of improving the situation for people with developmental disabilities. It's really been a civil rights movement where people with disabilities have really been afforded, you know, you look at your ramps going into buildings. That didn't happen just by accident.
No.
You look at when you go to the elevator, there's Braille that would help somebody who has a visual impairment find the right floor. All of those types of things happened because somebody spoke up. Almost all disability-related advancements are because somebody cared enough to speak up. And really and truly, most of that speaking up is coming from family members and individuals with disabilities. We are happy to partner with them, and we speak up as much as we can, but of course, it means more if it's coming from a person with a disability or their family member because they live it.
Every day.
Every day, yeah.
There's no, oh, let me just go on vacation here and it's not there anymore. It's always there, 24/7, and it's a lifestyle.
Right, yes. And nobody who has a child with a disability has moved into that role knowing what that was going to be like. You know, families have children, and when the child is born, they might know right away that the child has a disability, but oftentimes they don't know for a few years. And there's a process there where families, there's a grieving process because You weren't expecting that.
No, it wasn't what you prepared for.
Right. And so, but through working a lot with some of my staff and meeting other families, families can really learn how to support their child. They really, when their child is young, and actually the whole child's whole rest of their life, really, that family plays a pivotal role in helping that child achieve. And if the family is committed to helping that child reach milestones and expand their world, then that child has a better chance to succeed in the world.
And sometimes it's just that parents don't know they have a resource like we do with the Board of Developmental Disabilities and everything that you guys have to offer to help create that normal life again.
Exactly. We're the best resource that you never wanted, but we're here in case you need us. We do work with the local hospitals and birthing centers to make sure that when moms leave the hospital with their newborn baby, they have information about if their child isn't meeting milestones, that they can reach out to us. We also work closely with the doctors here in Holmes County so that they have information about, of course, doctors know about the milestones, but also how to connect with our early intervention program. So the best thing that a family can do for their child is to get them services as soon as they recognize that child is not meeting their developmental milestones. The sooner we get started, the better the opportunities will be for that child.
And it may just be something that you guys need to work with them for a little bit to maybe compensate, and it may be a lifetime thing. But like you said, the sooner the better. That way you're not delaying the inevitable.
Right. We have actually a number of children that come to our early intervention program who maybe are only with us for a few months. They might have a goal that's related to their speech, and they can accomplish that with just a little bit of support from our staff. So, like you said, other children will be with us for longer, but the sooner you start, the way that the brain operates, in the first 3 years, so much is happening in a child's brain that they're able to address some of those delays quicker and better if it's addressed in those first few years of their life.
Then they don't develop bad habits or overcompensate and cause more issues. You can deal with it head on.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
And that's the goal.
Yes, it is. And early intervention is probably one of our most important programs because it sets the stage for the rest of that child's life. A lot of children will go through early intervention and they won't need our services ever again. And, you know, that's great when that happens. That child can go to public school and succeed and go on with the rest of their life. That's wonderful. We're happy when that happens.
Yeah, there's no sadness to see a child succeed.
Oh, no.
To come out of it's all pride. It's all support, and just in case you need us, we're still going to be here.
Yes, we're the best kept secret, and if you need us, we are here. But we are happy if you don't need us, because that means your child is doing well.
Exactly. Well, we're going to learn more about what you do as the superintendent here in our next segment. That is Mary Ann Mader, the superintendent at the Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities, for Focus Fridays on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick. And we are stepping right back in here with the Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities Superintendent Mary Ann Mader. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. And as we stated there in the end of that last segment, we're going to learn a little bit more about you. You gave a great introduction on a little bit about what the DD does. And so you are the superintendent out there. Mm-hmm. How long have you been with the Board of DD?
I have been here in Holmes County as superintendent for just over 10 years.
And so were you with the DD before you became superintendent, or is that a position you came into?
It is a position I came into here in Holmes County. I had worked in Lucas County at their Board of Developmental Disabilities for about 13 years before I came down here.
And were you just working there, or were you part of the administrative staff?
Yeah, I was part of the administrative staff. I was like an assistant superintendent. Mm-hmm. I was responsible for three large areas of programming. And I'm sure you can imagine that Lucas County, where Toledo is located, is very different.
A lot.
Than Holmes County. Yes. A lot of the troubles and difficulties that we had in Lucas County at the Board of DD don't exist here in Holmes County. I like the arrangement and how things operate here in Holmes County. It's a lot more manageable. I actually never wanted to be the superintendent in Lucas County. It just is, you know, they serve over, I don't know what number they're probably at by now, probably 3,500, 4,000 different people.
It's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot of people. And, you know, here in Holmes County, we have, I think we have 18 independent providers and 12 agency providers, and I can talk about that at another time, providing support to the families. But in Lucas County, it's in the hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
And each provider agency you have to check in with, and it just trying to get quality control when you have that many people out there providing services, it's so difficult. So this is a lot more manageable. And I really do enjoy I think I know the names of almost everybody we serve, and mm-hmm. and some of the names of their family members. So I just really like that feel a lot better. It was much more at a distance in Lucas County, but yes, much more personal here in Holmes County.
So how did you find, like, what brought you here? Well, like, was it happenstance?
Well, it's funny because at the time, another one of the assistant superintendents and I were like, we really think that we should be superintendents, but we don't want to be superintendents in Lucas County. And at that time, there was an opening in, I think, Hancock and Holmes County. And I said, well, I'm really kind of intrigued by Holmes County, so I'll apply for Holmes and you apply at Hancock. Well, I got Holmes and she didn't get the job at Hancock. Oops.
Uh-oh.
But
listening, sorry.
But before, because we knew it would be a big change, and I would have to relocate because, mm-hmm. you know, Toledo's too far away. So my husband and I said to him, you know, let's go down there and look around and see if we think we could live there. Because mm-hmm. if we don't think we can live there, I don't even want to apply.
Right.
Because I would hate to be offered a job and then turn around and tell somebody, no, I don't want it. So we came down and we ate at some restaurants and did some being tourists. And we're like, yeah, we can do this. So that's kind of just how it got started. And yeah, we moved down here and I really like it. The slow pace is really nice. You know, I'm getting to be an older person, so I appreciate it. And sometimes now when we go to the city, we're like, ugh, get us away. Too many cars.
When I go to the city.
Too many cars.
You get spoiled around here.
You really do. You really do. Although I do like to pop out to the city for some good restaurants. I mean, not that we don't have good restaurants here, but sometimes a little variety.
Change.
A little variety. Yeah, that's what I like.
And so is it an appointed position, the superintendent, or how did that work?
The superintendent is selected by the board members. So it was an interview process where I met with the board. There were 7 members of the board, had a couple of interviews. So the board is the one that board president made the offer to me.
And do you have to have any special qualifications to be superintendent?
Yes. First, you have to have a master's degree. And then you also have to have a certification from the Ohio Department of Developmental Disabilities. You have to have a superintendent certificate. And to get that certificate, you have to have, of course, the degree and have participated in some executive leadership program that the state has for superintendents. So, yeah, there's every county in Ohio has a County Board of Developmental Disabilities. So I am one of 88 in the state of Ohio.
And so do you see, you said you've been here for 10 years. I'm sure you've seen a lot of change from the way things were when you came in to now, because there's been so much change in the world of developmental disabilities in these last 10 years.
Yes, there has been a lot of change. Some of it is change that we had to do because of Medicaid rules, and some of it is changes that have happened because of COVID. But yes, we have had quite a bit of change because of that Medicaid and COVID. But then we've also kind of started some new things to expand our services. Our community supports department is fairly new, and so we've that's where we really are trying to, like I mentioned earlier, about getting people involved in the community and doing more things where they're active out and doing a variety of things and working with community organizations to include people with disabilities. So yes, we've had a good amount of change. Sometimes it doesn't feel like a lot until I go back and I look at what happened over the last year and I'm like, wow, that was a lot.
I think that's usually how, like, everything seems so day to day, but then that recap, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, a lot has happened.
Especially with, like, when you look back the decade, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, so crazy, the people you've seen come and,
yes,
and go. And do you guys have a lot of staffing changes out there? Or do you tend to, with your line of work, it's got to be people who are dedicated, for sure.
We have an amazing, dedicated workforce. Most of our staff have been working there for 20-plus years. So I'm kind of a newbie.
You're the rookie out there.
With 10 years, yeah. But we have some turnover. That does happen. But the bulk of our staff are 20-plus years.
Because it takes a special person to work with these folks. You have to have the right temperament and the heart to want to help them succeed.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's a certain level of patience. You know, it's funny, I can have a lot of patience for the individuals we support, but when I go home, not so patient, you know.
You've used them all up. Sorry, husband. Yeah, I'm done.
But yes, I think that we have a group of staff that, I was talking to some family members of some of the individuals today. I mean, when you walk through our building and you interact with our staff, I say you can feel the love. You can just tell by the way the staff interact with the individuals and family members that there is deep care and concern, genuine love. I mean, I don't know that they would necessarily talk about that in Lucas County, but I mean, the word love comes to my mind. It is just pulls on your heartstrings a lot just to see that interaction. It's so genuine.
And is this where good you people. Always saw yourself, like, it working as a superintendent or and in the, you know, developmental disability world, or did you have a different trajectory going in?
Well, when I was in college, I oddly enough took a lot of classes in geology, and I really loved geology. But I also was in this field called therapeutic recreation, which was essentially recreation for people with special populations. And I was like, I had to make a decision.
Because those are very different.
Vastly different. And then, you know, when you're in school, you like take the introductory courses, but then at some point you like have to
focus.
Focus. So there was this one semester I did, they call it a practicum. I had to volunteer at someplace for my therapeutic recreation degree. And it was an organization up in Toledo that worked with people with disabilities. And I had never really worked with that much with people with disabilities. This would have been in like the early 80s. Yeah, I'm that old. I don't know what it was. It just clicked. Everything clicked. I just fell in love with it. And so after that semester, all my geology, I'd probably be a millionaire by now, maybe, if I'd stayed to be a geologist, I don't know, working for an oil company. But that's not me now. So yeah, that's kind of how I got started. I've had a very long, circuitous route, but always basically involved with people with disabilities. And recreation has always been important to me because I think that's, you know, where you really kind of show who you are. But also then the health and safety and all of the other things that came in with being at a board of developmental disabilities, the case management, all that stuff, behavior support, as I continued in my career, became more and more important to me as well.
Well, we've got much more to learn about how you do things at the Board of Developmental Disabilities. That's Marianne Mandier, the superintendent. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. Let's go ahead and join back in here with Marianne Mader, the superintendent at the Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick, and we kind of mentioned off air, we were chatting about where we want to go next, and there was a direction you wanted to kind of clear the air about and make sure people understand what exactly the DD is.
Yeah. So, Melissa, you know, when I came here over 10 years, just a little over 10 years ago, the Holmes County Board of Developmental Disability was primarily known as the training center. Mm-hmm. And most people here in Holmes County who've lived in Holmes County their whole lives, they call our organization the training center. So when I came here and we had to develop a logo and mm-hmm. kind of like develop some
Your
materials,
branding,
our branding, right. I really moved in the direction of saying Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities. I know it's a mouthful, but it is our legal name. And one of the reasons I wanted to make sure that we said our legal name, well, there's actually two reasons, but the primary reason is, you know, we are supported by property taxes. Mm-hmm. And so we have to go to the voters and ask them to approve our levies. And we cannot put training center, because of the way the mm-hmm. legal things are, we can't put training center on in there.
Right.
On
you
the
have
ballot.
To be legal.
We have to use our legal name. And so one of my primary responsibilities as superintendent is to make sure that we have the funding we need to do the work that we need to do. So I just wanted to make sure that there would be no mistake with that. Mm-hmm. So we really moved in the direction of talking of as ourselves as the Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities. Now, I realize, like I said, many people here in their minds, deep in their brains, we are the training center. So generally when I introduce myself or the organization, I say the Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities, the training center. I try to include both to kind of like bring everybody together. So listeners out there, if you're thinking, who's Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities? We're the training center.
With some generations, like some place is always going to be that place. Like
right.
Jerry Crabtree's house is always going to be Jerry Crabtree's house, even though three people have lived there since.
Yes. Well, you know, that's funny because I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm not from around here originally, though. And people give me directions. They're like, uh-huh. Well, you know, do you turn it left at blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know what that is.
I'm learning. I've got a few of them now.
But the other reason I kind of wanted us to step away from the training center is those words are very
limiting
and old-fashioned. When I was a very young person growing up and when we would talk about people with disabilities in the schools, there would be like educably mentally handicapped and trainable mentally handicapped. And the trainable mentally handicapped person, as in this old definition, was somebody who was a much lower functioning individual and didn't have much skills. And in that way, it is very limiting. And, you know, we serve people who can drive cars, mm-hmm. who have a developmental disability, maybe autism or Asperger's, all the way to people who can't do that kind of thing. And they have a lot of limitations, but we don't want to put the limitations on them by using certain words like training. So I just wanted to kind of clear the air about that, and so that the listeners know that when we're talking about Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities, in their mind, if they want to translate that to the training center, they can go ahead and do that.
There are people who have fully functioning lives that just need that little bit of assistance, and then there's those who you have to give a lot of assistance
right.
to.
Yep. It's all individualized. All of our support is individualized to meet the assessed needs. You know, we are case managers. For whatever reason, in our world, we call them service and support administrators, just because mm-hmm. we have to use lots of syllables and make everything complicated. But really,
let's just add some more words in there.
But really, to the general person, the word case manager makes sense. Well, they have to develop an individual service plan for the people on their caseload, and it's all based on assessed need. We do a number of assessments to find out where people need help, because we only want to help people with the things they need help with. You know, you right. don't want to help somebody do something you already know how to do, otherwise you're creating difficulties down the road. So for my two cents, that's kind of why we use the words we use. Also, you know, if the listeners can remember, I think it was in 2009 that the state legislature removed mental retardation from our title. It used to be legally, the Holmes County Board of Mental Retardation and Developmental Disabilities.
So it was the MRDD.
Yeah, it was MRDD. And it was in 2009 that changed. They took the MR out. So now Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities. So just kind of trying to keep up with the times.
And they have removed those words from pretty much most things now.
Correct.
And go with developmental disabilities.
Right. Right.
It's more inclusive. It really covers the whole spectrum of what the folks you're working with, because it's not all that.
Correct. It covers the gamut.
Well, we'll have more with Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities Superintendent Marianne Mader. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays on WKLM. As we get back into our discussion here on the Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities, I am with the Superintendent Marianne Mader. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. And in a previous segment, we started to talk about the early intervention that you guys provide. And that's one of many services.
Yes. So early intervention really is our starting point. Like I mentioned before, whenever somebody realizes that their child is maybe not meeting developmental milestones, they can give us a call. We have an early intervention team. The early intervention, this is evidence-based early intervention, and it's slightly different than what most people would think. I mean, it's not a therapist coming to your house to do therapy with your child. We believe that a parent is a child's first and best teacher. Mm-hmm. So what we do is team meets, they do an evaluation and assessment of the child to figure out what the child needs and what the parents need and want for their child. And we identify a primary service provider, one person really to go to the family and to help them. They're coaching the parent to help the child. The parent is with the child all the time. Mm-hmm. We're only with them, you know, every other week or so. So it really is through coaching of the parent that the child is able to make the gains. And we have access to speech therapists, physical therapists, occupational therapists, and our developmental specialists. All of them put their expertise and they coach that staff person who goes to the home, and then that person then coaches the parent. So that's really our early intervention program. A couple of years ago, we started something called Learning Bridge, which is a program, because early intervention ends at age 3, and typically a child with special needs is then enrolled into special education through their local school district. Mm-hmm. Some children also need additional support at home, so we kind of carry over that early intervention model to a few children with more intense needs. So that's our Learning Bridge program. Moving up as a child would age, is we do operate a K-12 school out at our grounds at our facility. Right now we have 22 students, and we provide intervention specialists, teacher assistants, occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and we have a nurse. And of course, we have our bus drivers also. So we have a full complement of staff out at our school. All of the children are on an individual education plan, and we work with the local school districts to support the children. Some people think that a parent can just call us up and say, I want my child to go to the Holmes County Board of DD school. It doesn't work that way. The families need to work with their local school district, and they decide the least restrictive environment for that particular child. And sometimes that location is at our facility. So we get some of those children.
And some of them just need that personal attention and focus that they can't get in a public school.
Right. And our school, well, of course, we have staff that will love them, but that happens at other schools too. I know other staff that love the students that they teach. It's a much quieter environment at our school. We don't have any bells ringing when it's time to change classes, and the ratio, we usually have like between the teacher and the teacher assistant, probably three staff to every six children.
Mm-hmm.
So we have plenty of hands-on. All of our children, most of our children, I should say, need to be fed. They need someone to take them to the restroom. They need a lot of hand-over-hand to do their schoolwork. We have been seeing, which is really kind of exciting, a lot of increased involvement with communication devices.
Mm-hmm.
A number of our children aren't really able to, they don't have verbal skills, they can't respond to you in a normal way, but we have learned through the last few years of different ways for them to communicate through using communication devices. And it really has opened up a world for the student and their family and our staff to really be able to communicate. I mean, a lot of these are kids that we really did not know what they knew and understood.
Didn't quite know what was going on in that head of theirs.
That's right, exactly. So it really has been an eye-opener for everybody to use these communication devices. So that really kind of, as far as our services for young children goes, are our primary areas. But we do have one more thing before we take our break, and it's called Family Support Services.
Very important.
Which is very important, but it's what it is we provide some funding to families of an eligible person who's eligible for our services, to purchase disability-related items that they might need and or services. So each year, the board decides how much money that is that we can afford, and right now we're providing $500 a year for each family if they register for that. And interestingly enough, one of the most used things that's purchased is undergarments, like mm-hmm. diapers. A lot of our folks don't have bowel and bladder control, so of course they have to wear those. We figured out the cost of a teenager who has to wear a garment like that for a year costs over $2,000.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They're not cheap.
They are not cheap. And when you think about that, I mean, that's $2,000 that family is paying
For that one thing.
I mean, that doesn't cover any other disability-related things that that family might need for their child. So, yeah, and there's a lot of different things that it can purchase, but that's one of the ones that just a lot of the families do because they all need that.
And it's not something like you would think of when you say, oh, we provide this funding. You were just talking about those devices. It's like, oh, maybe it's to help. No, it's one of the very basic
needs, yeah,
that these folks need.
Yeah. And just recently, there's a diaper bank that's opened up. I know the health district has one. I think we're going to be opening up a location where we're able to get a few additional diapers that will be provided to the family each month. But again, it's like 20 diapers for a month, so we know that's not
enough. Obviously, you're going to need more than that, yes.
Right. So those are just some of the things that we are providing for our infants, toddlers, and youth.
It's some really cool happenings there, especially, you know, we've heard stories about those devices, the speech devices, and how we didn't know what they were thinking. And there's so many that they're just like us.
Yeah.
They just can't express it.
Exactly. Imagine that. Imagine
what?
Being a person who has all these ideas and you want to share them and you can't get that across to anybody. How frustrating that might be. And that's really why we see oftentimes behavior problems. A lot of times, whether they're toddlers who can't communicate to mom and dad, I want a cookie or I want to go outside and play right now. If they can't figure out what the child is trying to say, the child sometimes will become physically aggressive toward the parent or to themselves sometimes. So
it's like, you're not getting me.
Communication is so important.
It's so vital.
Yes. Yeah. Finding a way for everyone to be able to communicate so they can get their needs met.
All right. We'll have more with Marian Mader, the superintendent for the Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities. For Focus Fridays on WKLM, I'm Melissa Patrick. We've got more to discuss here with the superintendent of the Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities, Mary Ann Mader. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. And we've kind of been working our way up on the services you provide at the Board of DD. And the next logical set of services is for adults, which has changed in the recent years in how that works, but you guys are still behind it.
Absolutely. And thank you for bringing that up, because I think it's a point of confusion for some people. In 2022, HOMES-DD stopped providing adult services in adult transportation. And when I say that, I mean the staff that work from HOMES-DD are no longer the staff people working with the adults providing those services. And we had to make that change because of Medicaid. If anybody really wants to understand this better, give me a call, but I'd be here for an hour talking to try to explain it.
I'm giving you the summed up version here.
Yeah. So anyway, because of Medicaid, we had to make that change. But we are still providing funding for those services. So I know that you guys, I know I see it in the Bargain Hunter often. There's an article about Sacred Ground or Gentle Brook, these agencies that are here in Holmes County now that are providing services. What I would really hope that all of the listeners understand is while a different agency is providing the service, Holmes County Board of DD is using the tax dollars that the voters approved for us to use to purchase services for individuals from agencies like that.
As per required by Medicaid.
By Medicaid, right. We can't do it, so we are paying another Medicaid certified provider to provide that service. So just keep that in mind that that's happening. So for the adults, most adults will have a case manager that I talked about in one of our segments already. And that person meets with the adult and their family. They assess their needs, determine what services they might need. A lot of the adults in Holmes County do need day services somewhere for them to go during the day where they can do meaningful activities, interact with the community and some friends, and give their family members a break from providing care. So the day services we have off the top of my head, we probably have 75 to 100 adults who are participating in those activities. We also provide services for adults who need residential care. One of the wonderful features of Holmes County is that most of the adults that we provide who are involved with our services live at home with mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have some settings in the county where groups of 3 to 4 people with developmental disabilities are living, and they have paid caregivers come in to take care of them. And so again, we use the dollars provided by the taxpayer to provide for that care. So anytime that somebody is needing some help at home, we provide the funding for that. We have 18 individual providers in Holmes County that are certified by the Ohio Department of Developmental Disabilities to provide care, and we have 12 agency providers in Holmes County that are certified by the Ohio Department of Developmental Disabilities to provide care. So if you were to hit the rewind button about 5-6 years ago, those numbers would have been close to, I don't know, 2, maybe 3 maximum. So one of the things that we had to do to get ready for what we called privatization is we had to build up this network of these private providers. Mm-hmm. So now we have a good number of providers. It would be nice to have a few more, because I know that there are some folks who could use additional services that we just don't have providers for, but it's a much improved situation than it was a few years ago. Another thing that we do, I mean, I don't know how many of you listening out there attended the Bucks versus the All-Stars game on last week.
It's a key event in Holmes County.
It is. We had probably 400 people, awesome. Spectators there, I think.
And we had somebody participate.
Oh, yeah, Matt. Played. So that's kind of a piece of our Special Olympic program that we kind of help support. And they provide basketball and track and field, and they're planning on adding a few more sports. And so that's really quite nice for the
and
folks.
They love it.
They, yes.
Love it.
Love it. One of the things that we did add, you asked a while back about things that we're doing now that we weren't doing before. We started, I think around COVID time, we started doing basketball games in addition to the All-Star game, but basketball games against like community groups. Sometimes it's like a church group.
I know
a bank, Prairie Township Fire Department. And people come out to watch those. They're great fun. If there's a listener out there who hasn't been to a Bucks basketball game, you simply must go because they are just so much fun. And for the people that are playing basketball, I mean, it's a really nice way to interact with the athletes, the Special Olympic athletes, get to know them. They have a great time. So the last thing that I want to talk about a little bit is about our community supports department. That is something that we created a couple of years ago, where we are taking our vision, a community where everyone belongs, and really working hard with community groups to expand. And that might be a great thing for us to talk about in our next segment.
And with that, we're going to take a quick little break here. That's Marianne Mader, the Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities Superintendent. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. We've got one last time here with the Superintendent of the Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities, Marianne Mader. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. And we kind of led into this segment at the end of our last one with the community and getting in the community involved with the DD.
Yes, we started a community supports department about a year and a half ago. And some of the things that we're doing in that department, one of our most successful ones so far anyway, has been something we call Buddy Softball. We started it last fall. And there are, I mean, those of you out there listening, you might have seen in other communities, they have something called a Miracle League or a Challenger Baseball, which is a baseball program that pairs a child with special needs with a typically developing peer, and they play baseball. A lot of times they play on baseball fields that are all like paved so that the kids in the wheelchairs can
participate.
Well, we found out at Oasis Youth Center in Charm, they have three softball fields that have a turf.
Nice.
Are all turf.
They are serious about their softball down there.
Oh, yes, they are. So we took a wheelchair out there and said, could a wheelchair go through this turf? And it did. And we're like, oh my gosh, this is the place. This is where we're going to do it. And we did hear from a lot of families. When you think about what's something like a dream of yours you'd really like your child be able to do?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them said, play baseball.
So that's like your typical American pastime.
Yeah, yeah. Their brothers and sisters are playing baseball. How can you help my child with a developmental disability play baseball?
This sounds normal.
And feel like a normal kid. Right. So the staff in the department put their heads together and we came up with a way to do that out at Oasis. And I was just really impressed because we had like 25, 26 people. The first year we did start with like kids 8 years of age and up. And we did have quite a few adults wanting mm-hmm. to participate. And some of them had to be coach pitched. Mm-hmm. Others hit off a tee with the help of their buddy. And the buddy would run them around the bases. And it really is, it's kind of a little bit like Bucks basketball in that, well, there's no winner in this. And we didn't really keep score. So it really is just for the fun.
Getting out there and doing it.
Yeah. And it was very well received by the families, but also the community. I remember sitting at one of the games out there at Oasis and looking around, and I felt like there were like 300 people there. It was phenomenal. And so, again, for kids who kind of have been on the sidelines before and not really actively involved, going to maybe do their brother and sister's mm-hmm. ball games, but now they're playing ball and their whole
in that spotlight.
Yeah,
dream.
Yeah, their whole family's there
cheering
yelling and screaming. Yeah, it was great. It was phenomenal. So that was one of the things that we did last year that we intend to continue. We had some swimming lessons last year. We partnered with the park district at the pool to do some swim lessons for kids with special needs. So one of the things that we don't talk about a lot but is a risk is that for children with autism, they often like will run away mm-hmm. from home.
You see it in the news yep. all the time.
And in the spring, summer, fall months, it's dangerous if they come across a pond, a swimming pool. A lot of these kids don't have fear. And there is a great risk of children with autism drowning.
And unfortunately, you see that part in the news, too. It's not
yeah.
always the happy ending.
No, it happens. So that swim lesson was really put together with the Park District to help children learn how to swim, because they, again, just weren't really getting into typical swim lessons where you have one teacher and 6-7 kids.
Right.
You know, this environment, there was one teacher for every child. And so we intend to do that again. We have the egg hunt coming up this weekend. It's out at Harvest Ridge. We had sensory-friendly movie out at the Home Center for the Arts. We work with them. Lots of different things that we're trying to do to get kids and adults doing things. Another thing that we do that is a support to the community that helps families participate is we have an accessibility trailer. And it's a trailer that we will can take to a community event. And inside the trailer, we have a universal changing table so that if a family is going to Thunder Over Holmes County or some event and their child needs to be changed,
and they're of the adult size,
and they're a teenager, an adult, you know, something like that. Typically, what those families would have to do is take them to their van and lay them down on the floor and change them in there, or lay them down on the grass somewhere.
Or take them home.
Or go home, right. So with this accessibility station, they can wheel right up in there and transfer their child to this, or adult, to this table that can go up and down to help with lifting and have a clean place to make that change. So, and we received some grant dollars from DODD to purchase that trailer and the changing table. We also purchased with those funds a changing table out at Harvest Ridge and the one that is at the visitor center for the Holmes County tourism. So some of the things that we've been doing with through our community supports department to make more opportunities for people. I do want to hit on one last thing. It doesn't really kind of fit with the other topic.
But it's still important information to share.
Yeah, super
so
important.
Of course it fits.
You know, I often talk about the upside, the good stuff, the happy stuff. But there's also a part of working with individuals with disabilities where you need to be aware of abuse and neglect.
Mm-hmm.
And
unfortunately, that happens.
It does. So just like Children's Services here in Holmes County, if there's an allegation of abuse or neglect against a child, they have to investigate that. If there is an allegation of abuse or neglect against a person with a developmental disability, we become responsible for that. Now, if it's a child, Children's Service, whether they have a disability or not, Children's Services does that investigation. If it's an adult, we need to do that. And there's a whole list of things that we're given from the state, about 15 different things that if it happens to an adult with a developmental disability, we have to investigate. And really, the investigation is to ensure the individual's health and welfare. We're really just trying to make sure that if something happened that put them at risk, that we and their family, we work together to make sure that that thing, whatever it is, doesn't happen anymore. So it's something that we do. We don't talk about it a lot, but it's always in our back of our mind whenever we're doing anything that we need to make sure that the individuals we support are healthy and they're safe.
Because they deserve that just like every other adult and child around. They just don't always know how to verbally express that something's wrong.
Exactly. And it's not a great statistic, but people with disabilities are more likely to be physically and sexually abused than somebody who doesn't have a disability.
Because people think they're an easy target.
Yeah, they're easy to take advantage. Yeah, and if they do tell, no one will believe them. They're easily taken advantage.
And that's changing.
I hope so.
you've talked about it at different things, that as the folks with developmental disabilities are learning to advocate for themselves.
Right. We have an advocacy group where we really are working with people to speak up for themselves. So, yeah, that's another thing that we have to do, is to teach people to speak up, because it's very easy to just say, oh, well, this is what you want, or this is what you're going to do today, and not give people an opportunity to speak up about even what their daily wants and needs are. So, yeah, it's very important to help people learn to advocate for themselves.
And that's that's a good message for anybody, quite frankly, because there are folks without developmental disabilities who don't know how to advocate for themselves.
That is true. And that is true.
And so as we get ready to wrap up, it feels like this, we just got started and here we've made it through our whole, our whole hour. Is there any last words or thoughts that you want to share?
Well, I guess if you, you can, if you want additional information or want to learn more about us, I encourage you to follow us on Facebook. You can, we have a website, holmesdd.org, and you are invited out to our facility, the 48th annual Spring Festival that raises money for a parent organization. We don't receive the funds. It goes to the group of parents who dole it out to needy individuals and families. That's going to be May 8th and 9th.
Okay, and here before we know it.
Yes. It will be May soon. Praise the Lord.
True that. Well, thank you so much for joining in with me today and helping to maybe hopefully clear up some misunderstandings and really educate folks on what you guys are providing at the Holmes County Board of DD.
Happy to be here.
That was Marianne Mader, the Holmes County Board of Developmental Disabilities Superintendent for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. Focus Fridays has been brought to you by Hobbins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rhodes IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Don't forget to catch Focus Fridays here on WKLM each and every Friday in the 9 a.m. hour. If you happen to miss an episode of Focus Fridays, you can go to the website, WKLMFM.com, click on the Focus Fridays icon, and then on the episode you missed. In the next episode of Focus Fridays, we focus in on Love, Inc. of Greater Holmes County Executive Director Jordan Anderson. It's all here on your hometown radio, 95.3 WKLM.